Thank you for joining us for the AW360 Morning Wake Up Podcast. Welcome to Day 3 at Advertising Week Europe 2025, where we are recording live on the ground here at 180 Studios in London at the AW360 Podcast Studio, presented by UserCentrics. UserCentrics is on a mission to help brands build trust and drive growth by putting user consent at the core of every digital interaction. Their powerful consent management and preference management platforms are active in 195 countries on more than 2.3 million websites and apps. They make it easy for businesses to respect user choices and still deliver killer marketing results. With me today is UserCentrics CMO, Adelina Peltea. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Day 3. Yeah. Are you exhausted yet?
Yes.
Yeah, same here. Same here. It's hard to keep up. We used to do these for 4 days. I'm glad we're down to 3. Lots going on today. Let's start with some of the tracks of the day. I'll tell you right now, I don't have AI listed on any of these.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's not to say there won't be some AI discussion within them.
Not in the title.
Not in the title. We start off with creativity and creators, which features some interesting things on brand transformations, which depending upon the brand and depending upon the transformation, I can go either way. But there's discussions involving KFC, John Lewis, and British Airways, which I actually flew British Airways to get here.
Two?
Did you as well?
Yeah.
I'm a fan. It's only my second trip on British Airways. There's not a whole lot of runs from where I live, but I enjoy their service. There's also the power of journalistic storytelling in brand building. I love good journalistic storytelling. I was watching the news and telling some colleagues back home that journalism here in Europe is entirely different than the journalism we have in America.
Different how? Should I open this box now?
It's probably part of a much larger discussion. We don't want to...
That's a whole podcast on its own, yeah.
But I will say that journalism is actually journalism here, whereas journalism in America is a lot of click now. Let's alarm people and scare them and hope that they click.
Still works.
It does work. We also have the modern marketing and measurement track, which I like to just call data, but it sounds fancier if you say modern marketing and measurement. Where we have the quarter century crisis, are we better or worse off now than we were in 2000? That's also a very loaded question. I would argue that both. It's C, both. Lessons in battle scars, what it takes to keep a legacy brand relevant. I have no idea what it would take to keep a legacy brand relevant, so I won't even go there. Then we have the TV and content track featuring TV's evolution, the power of real stories, standing out in the scroll, and trust, attention, Gen Z, and the digital revolution. Last but not least, on the Empower Lounge, unlocking growth through personal branding and networks, which I think, you know, if you're at Advertising Week Europe, you're pretty aware of your personal brand at this point. But most exciting, especially since I have you on the show, and, you know, this is sponsored by UserCentrics, is the UserCentrics panel taking place today at 11:40 a.m. on the tech stage, which is part of the modern marketing and measurement track. With a session entitled The YouTube Formula, How to Crack YouTube Ads, Prove It, and Scale It, which is very ambitious for a single session, I should say.
It is. My colleague, Ice, who's leading PPC, is very excited to share a lot of best practices on how we took YouTube from zero to scale. And she will share like really good stories, really personal stories, things that can be replicated by other marketers. And that's all around, like, you know, CMO asks you to experiment with new channels. How do you do that? How do you bring results? Convince the CFO, convince the board that it's working, get it to scale. How do you operate it in a privacy-led marketing world? How do you prove results with first-party data and not just on the decreasing results that you can see on online ad platforms and so on? So I think it's going to be very practical, but also I heard from my team, very fun. I couldn't get a spoiler alert. I'm supposed to be surprised as well.
I enjoy anything that involves YouTube. It's interesting, though. I haven't given a whole lot of consideration personally, and I probably should, to when I'm watching YouTube, any of the privacy considerations that might exist. I really, when it comes to YouTube, I'm pretty all in, which is kind of strange for me. That's one of the few platforms I haven't given a lot of thought to privacy. Are there things that people should be thinking about from a user point of view that you know of when dealing with YouTube, either as a creator or just simply as a viewer?
I think for both users and businesses, one thing I'm preaching a lot is use contextual consents. So, for example, you go to a website, maybe you don't trust them yet. Maybe you don't know if you'll have any value exchange with them yet. We'll probably not accept all the things that they want to, all the data they want to get from you and what they want to do. But let's say at some point you get to their YouTube ads or like content on their website and so on. That's when you can ask for contextual consent, and people are more willing at that point to exchange their data for watching this and so on. So it's a very good best practice. Another thing for YouTube is like really hard to track, right? Like we live in a multi-touch world. Like you'll watch your YouTube and then 6 months later you'll search for something.
Mm-hmm.
The power of the very good old sign-up survey, how did you hear about us? Priceless, really priceless.
Really?
So these things still work. Like we're going back to like, you know, people saying what they actually appreciated, how they heard about you and so on. So yeah, it's a whole science now around the basics.
Interesting. Yeah, I was thinking about this. I don't remember. Somebody brought this up on Tuesday. You know, the old cards that, you know, when I was growing up, you would go to a restaurant. And they would have a little card that, you know, how was your service? How was your food? And you'd, you know, sit there and take the time to fill it out. And as a kid, I always thought that was fun. I'd, you know, sit there, fill it out and go, yes, this was great. This not so great. And then sometime as an adult, we were bombarded by it online, I think, and we filled out too many. But that's kind of returning now and a little bit more contextual and targeted, it feels like. Is that correct to say?
Yep. I think there is a lot of future in contextual for sure. And as marketers and then users, like we'll see more of this in the coming years.
Excellent.
And also like related to this and all this like first party data, third party data, we would invite all marketers today to go to privacyledmarketing.com. We have a survey from marketers to marketers to actually check in. How are you all feeling about data measurement nowadays? A lot of things have changed. We want to assess, you know, like insights, trends in this space, and what marketers know that can be done, and also like help much more with what can be done.
Privacyledmarketing.com.
Exactly.
Brought to you by UserCentrics. One other thing I wanted to talk about, actually, while I had you on, was I was going through actually the UserCentrics website and looking. You guys have a wealth of information on there. I was pretty impressed. I've started down a rabbit hole. And there's quite a few rabbit holes if you go to UserCentrics website. But one of them was, one of my favorites was Building Trust from Hello, A-B Testing Your Consent Banner for Maximum Impact, which is not something until I read about this that I had given a whole lot of thought to. But there is a wealth of insights in this particular bit of, you know, this article. I mean, it's a great bit of information.
Thank you.
When it comes to those, could you share what are some good practices in your mind when it comes to that banner? Because we see them constantly. And I think that a lot of us either pick one direction or the other. Most of us just accept, you know, whatever. It's fine. But is there, do you think, some good practices just in terms of really getting to the consumer from a brand perspective, what this entails, what this really means, and doing them sort of a solid favor and informing them what they're really agreeing to.
Yeah. Let's remember that we come from many years ago where marketers were kind of like, I don't want to deal with this. It's just like legal team is pushing me. Just put something in there, whatever it needs to be. Maybe in terms of tools also, you didn't have many possibilities. The world has changed a lot and we need to keep up. And that's why we say privacy-led marketing is like, now you think about privacy because people care about that. And that's a marketing job. It's a UX job. So some best practices are like, first of all, first impressions matters. That banner, it's exactly the first thing you see on any website, but it should represent who you are. So not only the branding part, it should resonate with who you are as a company. Also the UX part, like, are you clear? No fine prints, no hidden stuff. Like, are all the things in check properly? We've seen amazing implementations from our customers, like sometimes like Christmas gift boxes flying around holiday season and stuff like that. There's a lot of possibility out there. Even we were surprised. Like, if you want to design it and properly UX it, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Then it's contextual consents. Not everything needs to be asked up front. Like I keep saying, if you enter a shop, you're not going to give all your information up front and it would be weird, right?
Yes.
But if you go to a stand and you like a t-shirt, you might share your t t-shirt size number, right? And that's exactly what we're trying to replicate online. Texture consents are possible and they're very powerful. The A-B testing, as you said, like it's a whole science again, like where you place it, how do you say things, like all this kind of stuff. Ultimately, consented data, it's the most valuable thing people give you when they trust you as a brand. I know people think like, oh, I'm losing my data. No, in reality, you should have zero data and then be grateful for the consent and data. And you can get a lot if you do ethical marketing and you're like very fair about stuff. And another thing, I think years ago, people were more like on two camps, accept all, reject all, like for the entire internet. Now people are getting more granular in terms of like choosing for a business. Do I trust this business? Do they inspire me to trust them? And we see people really choosing different things based on the website that they are on.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the first things I did after reading through this was I was thinking about, you know, how do different brands approach this? And the first one, the first thing I always think of when it comes to sort of any UX, UI thing is I think of IKEA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a kind of a popular thing that their instructions, whenever you buy a piece of IKEA furniture, is just diagrams of people doing things. And I don't know, I was a little bit disappointed when I went to their website and it wasn't, you know, that banner pops up and it wasn't just pictures. They actually used words to describe.
On brand?
Yeah, it wasn't on brand. I thought this is a missed opportunity. Yeah. And I thought back to your A-B testing thing and I thought, I wonder if they ever did this because it feels like something is that, you know, would be a natural for them.
Yeah.
You know, how do you diagram, you know, accept all, reject all, you know?
That's why now we're preaching like marketers should care about these things because things are possible. But if it's not the marketing's job, if it was the legal team just putting it there, but you're missing a lot. Again, it's the first impression on your website.
Yeah, it's very interesting stuff. In terms of sort of the evolution of that, and one thing I've noticed, and this is very specific to just since I've been here this trip, I've noticed that in Europe, well, we're in the UK. I mean, you know, when I get online here, I'm getting kind of the UK version of everywhere I go. There is a lot more of what you talked about with the granular part of it. In the States, it's really just accept or no. You know, it's just that simple.
Yeah.
Here, there's a lot more options. Is that, do you think, something that is just getting started? I have no context personally because I don't see this regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that's becoming increasingly popular or has it always been that way here?
Europe was one of the first and most advanced. Mm-hmm. In the States now, in some states, there are legislations about this. There is a difference. Like Europe is, you need to opt in. In the US, it's opt out. Completely different mindset around data privacy. But what we're noticing now is like we have customers in the States saying, well, we realize that it's not about the legislations. It's people caring about this, especially in a world where, you know, data is manipulated and all sorts of like social media nightmares and stuff like that. And now our customers say, we want the European standards because this is well seen in Europe. Like we would go GDPR level if anything's not in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all boiling down to the fact that it's not anymore about legislations. That was the triggering point years ago. But now it's actually people realizing, oh, wait, that is my right. And I should know about all these things. And I should be in control of these things. And I'm demanding them from businesses.
I really enjoyed your point a little earlier where, you know, you start from zero and you should be grateful for any data that you get, mm-hmm. you know, from a brand perspective. That's not a very common expression that you hear. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's very refreshing. I think you guys need a session just on that at some point. Or, you know, that's just, I've never heard anybody say that. And I think, you know, as somebody, you know, from a user perspective that also works for brands, I fully agree with you. I mean, it's really difficult to justify giving you much of anything, especially when you start using the analogy of, you know, when you go into a store, do you, you know, let them know everything about you? Well, no, absolutely not.
And it used to be like marketers had access to any data because it was third party through observations, not because people would allow you to have all that. So we were so used to have everything, but without asking.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, we actually need to ask because it's their right.
Do you think there is, I mean, so many of us have given away so much data in the past and we're getting more and more sort of privacy minded as people. Is the data that we have out there already, is it too late for a consumer to get that under control?
No, I don't think so. And that's the whole point. Like, we're moving from data being simply in the ecosystem, mm-hmm. transited anywhere people want or companies want, to now being like, I trust specific companies. So we have the rise of like consent management, where a business needs to ask for consented data. We have the rise of server-side tagging, where you are like owning the data properly and sharing much more carefully with the ecosystem when it's to be shared. So there is the rise of like kind of like relational marketing. And that's why now it's important to default back to brands, to trust. And that's why I'm saying it's in each business. It's not about the entire internet overall. So I think we're definitely getting in that direction. And, you know, the data that is there, sure, like some places it's still there, but it's about what was the most important is the observation of your interest behaviors, things that you do online, and that will now be much more in your control. We're also working on a solution that is much more B2C oriented, where you can manage all these things properly. You have more visibility on what's out there on the internet about your data.
You at UserCentrics are?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited.
Coming soon this year.
Oh, I'm excited about this. Well, privacyledmarketing.com, go there, take the survey. I'm about to do so. In the meantime, you know, there's a whole lot to do here at Day 3 at Advertising Week Europe, including the wrap party and cocktails at, I don't know, whatever time that is, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. I just know that if you go to the ground floor at a certain time, there'll be drinks. That's, I'll still be down here in the, we call it the basement in the States, but here we call it, I don't know what it's called here, underground or lower level. Lower level sounds so much better. Basement sounds terrible. But Adelita, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on this week. And, you know, I hope to talk to you again soon. And thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Morning Wake Up.
Thank you, Richard. Enjoy the last day.